Well, this morning, before I begin the message, I'm going to invite a guest to come, and this person is going to recite a passage of Scripture for us. So I'm going to ask if Ethan Regeer would come to the platform at this time. He is one of our young Olympians, like not going to South Korea, but the Trailview Olympians. It's the name of our midweek kids program. And you've been working hard learning some verses, haven't you? Good. Well, I'm going to give you this microphone, and you tell us the verse that you're learning, and then we'll listen to that.
A man without self-control is like a city broken down and left without walls. Proverbs 25:28.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Ethan. I have to remember that verse every time I'm near a buffet. Well, I wanted Ethan to recite that verse for reasons that will become clear as we talk about the theme of our value of spiritual growth. So what I find is that one of the factors that makes preaching both exciting and terrifying all at the same time is that, ready or not, Sunday comes every week. So you can't pastor a local church and prepare one amazing message and just keep delivering that same message week after week. But on the other hand, sometimes I'm glad that Sunday comes around each week because it would be so hard to spend endless amounts of time trying to perfect that one single message. And that's why I actually liked deadlines when I was in school. I did the best that I could with the time that the professors gave us. And when the time came, I would just submit my assignment and then move on to the next project. And that's kind of how I feel this Sunday. I've worked and reworked this message so many times that I'm just glad today's Sunday so that tomorrow I can move on. The topic I'm preaching on today is spiritual growth. And it's a great topic, but sometimes it's easy to complicate things that don't need to be complicated. Now, with that being said, I'm not trying to say that spiritual growth is easy. It's not. But it doesn't have to be complicated either. Like many things in life, the key is doing the simple things over and over and over and over until they become habitual in your life. Now that we're doing this kind of survival series, as you can tell by looking at me, I'm not a big nature guy. I'm not an extreme sports guy. But I did some research and found that there are people, I'm not sure why, there are people who like this kind of sport called free solo climbing. This is when you climb the face of a cliff, voluntarily, apparently, without any ropes or supports. Definitely not a sport for beginners. You have to practice over and over until your body and mind learns automatically or instinctively what to do next. Well, on June 3rd of this last year, 2017, Alex Honnold became the first person ever to free solo climb the 3,000-foot wall of El Capitan, the famous rock face at Yosemite National Park in California, without a rope. Let's check out this video highlight from his famous climb.
Finally tonight here, America Strong, the young climber who made it to the top of El Capitan. No harness, no ropes attached, but a mind set on it since he was a boy.
The famed El Capitan, a 3,000-foot wall of granite in Yosemite. Nearly impossible to scale with safety equipment, let alone with none. It's called free soloing. And 31-year-old Alex Honnold of Sacramento has been perfecting the ropeless climb for a decade. Look at this breathtaking moment. About to reach the 2,500-foot summit of El Toro in Mexico. You can see he uses only his bare hands and feet to ascend. Alex has been climbing all his life, what he told us 2 years ago.
I go through the same calculation that anybody else does with risk-taking. You know, like, is it worth taking this risk? And I'm like, yes, it is.
More than 60 practice climbs on El Capitan, and Alex told us today what he was thinking as he neared the top.
When you're free-soloing something like El Cap, it's not as if your mind is wandering.
He gave us some of the video he took himself on previous climbs. Look at the drop below.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
The 2,500-foot drop of it, you keep you pretty focused. I looked down, you know, from time to time, enjoy the view. I was mostly looking up. I was pretty excited, and I was charging pretty quickly, and I was just kind of climbing ahead.
And in 3 hours, 56 minutes, he had made it to the top, becoming the first person to scale El Capitan alone without ropes or safety gear. And what did his mother say?
She said that she was glad I hadn't told anything beforehand.
The historic climb, filmed by National Geographic Documentary Films.
With free soloing, honestly, I've never really dreamt of anything bigger. I mean, I can't imagine anything cooler than El Caps. I don't know if there's anything better.
Which explains the smile after this American climber reached the top.
That was the key there. You don't tell your mom until after. Thanks for watching here. I'm David Muir. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow. Until then.
There's a few things I didn't tell my mom, but never something that extreme. Be honest, I don't mind living in the prairies because I'm not into climbing solo cliffs. I do know that God created our bodies and it's important that we take care of them. And I'm not minimizing the importance of physical exercise. And I know that I should be more intentional about that dimension of my life than I currently am. But some people go to the opposite extreme. So listen to what the Apostle Paul said to his protege, Timothy. He said, "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." As Christians, we're responsible for exercising spiritually, not just physically. At some point, whether we like it or not, we will reach our physical peak, and then we'll have to learn to adapt to doing things differently as we get older. You know, lift with your legs, not with your back, and all these things you didn't know were a problem until your body told you otherwise. Well, there aren't many sports that you can play at a professional level once you're past your 40s, unless you're like me, in which case there was never a time in your life when you could play a professional sport anyhow. But while our physical bodies reach their peak fairly early in life, our spiritual growth doesn't have to be limited or restricted by our age. We can enjoy a life of continued spiritual growth if we develop the habit of spiritual exercise. No matter where you begin on your journey with Jesus or how long you've been on that journey, the neat thing is that there's always room to grow. There's always room for improvement. That's not intended to be a disappointment or a discouragement. To be a disciple of Jesus means to keep on growing in your relationship with Him. One of Jesus' original disciples, a man by the name of Peter, writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He didn't say, "Grow when it's convenient for you," or "Grow when you first become a believer." He just says, "Grow," as in never quit, don't stop. In fact, the Apostle Paul instructs us to keep on growing until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, and that is Christ. So, discipleship is the product, the end goal. But the pathway to getting there is going to look different for everybody for two very important reasons. First of all, as everyone here knows, all of us are created by God uniquely. Even twins are not the same people. So, we all have different personalities, learning styles, spiritual gifts, and abilities. What one person finds helpful in their journey towards spiritual maturity may look a little bit different or not be as helpful to somebody else on theirs. So we shouldn't insist that others have to grow spiritually in the same way that we do. But there's a second reason why our pathway towards spiritual maturity will look different. It depends on where we are on that journey. And here at Trailview, we've identified 4 main stages on the discipleship pathway. You got the graphic right there. At the beginning of the journey is the seeker stage. And then we move to the believer stage, then the follower stage, and finally the maturing disciple stage. What we find helpful in terms of growing spiritually is going to depend on how far along or where we're at in this journey. So let me give you an example. When our Syrian refugee family moved to Canada, the children did not begin school in the grades that they were supposed to. That's because they had to learn English first. It was a process of learning. Giving them a grade 12 textbook at that point in their educational journey wouldn't have been helpful. They had to start with a basic English primer. But they would never finish grade 12 if a basic English primer was all they ever used. So you see what I mean here. That's why we as a pastoral staff have developed a suggested discipleship process that goes along with this pathway. Using the values that we're preaching about during this sermon series, we've identified some spiritual benchmarks or indicators that will demonstrate progress on our journey with Jesus. Because discipleship isn't just for adults. The Holy Spirit's role is to guide us towards spiritual maturity, and there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Even children can be disciples, which is why we have a discipleship process that's designed to assist children of all ages. That's one of the reasons why I had Ethan come and share scripture this morning. I wanted to share some youth, but there's actually a youth quiz meet in Winnipeg this weekend. So there's copies at the Welcome Center for you to pick up after the service today if you would like to see a copy of how what kind of benchmarks are recommended for people at the different stages of the spiritual journey. Please understand that this is in no way intended to be something that you check off so you can say, been there, done that, now I'm done. Rather, they're suggested indicators of what growing disciples of Jesus look like at different stages in their spiritual journey. So if there's no one-size-fits-all approach to making disciples, what spiritual practices can we really promote? Well, there have been studies that have been conducted to determine what spiritual practices are helpful at every stage along the pathway to spiritual maturity. And these studies indicate something very important for anyone who wants to be intentional about growing spiritually. So I want to highlight three practices that are influential in promoting spiritual growth, regardless of where you find yourself in this spiritual journey. And the first practice is participating in a small group or a mentoring relationship. That is because God never intended that the Christian life be lived alone or in isolation. None of us has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. None of us is a complete reflection of the image of God. None of us have all of the spiritual gifts. Jesus designed it that way so that we would need one another to grow in our journey spiritually. And small groups and mentoring groups are an essential way for growing spiritually, no matter where you find yourself in the spiritual journey. The only thing that may change as you grow spiritually is the role that you play in your small group, because you likely won't start out as a small group leader, but you may end up becoming one as your journey progresses. I've been involved in numerous small groups and mentoring relationships over the years in my spiritual journey. I honestly haven't kept count. I don't know how many groups I've been involved with over the years, but I do know that I personally didn't take mentoring seriously until I became the lead pastor right here at Trailview. And since that time, I've mentored about 30 people for at least a year. And someday, I know that I won't be the pastor of this church anymore. When that day comes, one of the things that will give me comfort is to know that I've left more disciples behind to carry forward the work of Christ than if I'd tried to do it all by myself. So this morning, I've asked one of the men that I'm currently mentoring to share a bit about this experience and how it's been beneficial in his own growth. So I'm going to welcome Eric Rodriguez up to the platform, and he's going to join me this morning. And I've got three questions that I've asked him. The questions are, why did you want to be mentored? What do we do in our mentoring time? And how is this helping you to grow spiritually? So in case you haven't met him before, this is Eric. Let's welcome Eric here. And I am putting a lot of faith and confidence in you because I don't know what you're going to say.
I had to speak at my wedding, and my wife asked me to write something, and I said, no, it's okay, I'll just wing it. And that didn't go so well. So for today, I prepared something. So my name is Eric Rodriguez. My family and I have been attending Trailview for the past year. I'm currently taking part in a discipleship group put on by Pastor Mike and was asked to come up today to talk about my experience in taking part of this mentorship. For me, growing up without a father figure left a relational gap in my life regarding how I deal with and respond with male influence in my life. Throughout my childhood and adolescence, I found myself clinging to and following less than positive male role models. This created a great deal of conflict in my life for many years. However, it is through this lens that God has given me a glimpse into the importance of a positive mentorship. A dedicated mentorship allows me a structured and healthy setting to lean on the tutelage and experience of someone further along in life. And this program has allowed me a safe place to share my struggles and successes in life and my thoughts and questions concerning faith and spirituality. My mentorship with Mike is constantly growing in me a deeper knowledge of truth in God's Word and what it means to be a disciple, making my ministry rooted in truth, and thus making it that much more effective. Prior to my mentorship, I viewed different denominations of Christianity as somehow inferior to my own. I would say things to the degree of, you know, these guys are worse because they believe in this. And if I'm being totally honest, I still don't even know what denomination I am. So, Jesus used this mentorship to show me how deeply he loves every part of his church as different parts of the same body. Some who are more invested in the protecting of life before birth, while others focus more on giving to the homeless or supporting world missions. Whether you be Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal, we are all Christ's bride. And as such, our only command is to love each other. And this is one example of how mentorship has changed my life and helped me to grow spiritually. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I like how you said that you can learn from those a little bit farther along in life. That's very polite. I got to tell you, that's probably the part of my ministry here that I enjoy the most. I don't mind preaching, but it takes energy. When I meet with these guys, it gives me energy. And since none of us know all there is to know about God, it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. They teach me and I teach them, and we enjoy the journey together. Now, the second habit that promotes spiritual growth regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey is prayer. Many people, though, have a misunderstanding of what prayer really is. Like I struggled with for many years growing up, many people think that prayer is when we bring our requests before God. And that is one aspect of prayer. But prayer is actually much more than just asking God for things. The Bible says that we are to pray continually. So if prayer was nothing more than asking God for things, then in order to grow spiritually, that would mean that for the rest of our lives, all that we could do was ask God for things. So prayer, I believe, is actually a conversation with God. As in any healthy conversation, that means there's times when we speak and times when we listen. And many Christians aren't really familiar with listening to God. They listen with their eyes when they read the Bible, but we must learn to listen to God even to understand what he's saying to us in the Bible. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice." So that means that we can't be the ones doing all the talking. We have to learn to hear what it is that he's saying, which is why I would encourage you to participate in the Hearing God seminar that Pastor Keith is facilitating here at Trailview. What I don't want is to make prayer seem like some intimidating skill that you are afraid to do it. You know, the way that a child prays is not the same as the way that an adult prays, but what's really neat is that a child's prayer isn't any better or worse than an adult's prayer, because Jesus focuses on the heart more than the words. In fact, Jesus even challenged the religious leaders of his day, saying that these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The good words didn't make a good prayer. He probably felt like you do when someone that you're talking to is texting someone else at the same time. In fact, sometimes we even do that to Jesus literally. I mean, how often are you trying to have your quiet time with God when your phone rings or you get a text message from somebody? And that's why I try not to have my phone around when I'm having my devotions, because I don't like it when other people do that to me. So I don't want to do that to Jesus when I'm spending time with him. One of the things that have helped me to learn how to mature in prayer, it's simple, but sometimes we overlook it, by listening to the way others pray. I grew up listening to my parents pray. I had Sunday school teachers and youth leaders who prayed. I listened to my pastor pray. And I went to prayer meetings to hear other Christians pray. And now, one of the things that I enjoy most as a pastor is listening to my church family pray. And as a dad, listening to my kids pray. You have an opportunity to hear other people pray tonight by attending this evening's encounter, or what we used to call prayer summit. And I would encourage you to come so that you can grow in your desire and ability to pray. The final habit that will help you grow as a Christian, regardless of where you are in your spiritual journey, is spending time with God through Scripture. The Bible is the primary way in which God reveals himself to us. Just imagine, if you will, that you're in the process of adopting a young child from a village in Africa where there's no internet or phone access. So the only way that you have to communicate with this child is through written letters that may have to be translated. I'll bet that the letter that you write to that child that you're planning to adopt is going to be pretty special. And I also bet that when that child receives it, he or she will pay very special attention to it. They're going to read it over and over again, waiting until that glorious day when their adopted parents finally arrive to bring them back home. And you know, folks, that's a picture of how we should treat God's letter to us while we wait for him to come and take us to our eternal home as his adopted children. My habit is to read through a chapter of the Bible every day and then journal my reflections. Some of you have received copies of my first publication of that process. But the fact of the matter is, though, I'm still doing this. Why do I keep on journaling my reflections on the same book? Because God's Word is unlike any other book. It's a living document. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." My life is full of changing situations and circumstances, and that's why I need to reflect on how the unchanging truths of God's word can help me to navigate my way through the changing realities of my life in a way that's honoring to God. But as disciplined as I have been in reading God's word, the Holy Spirit convicted me last year that I haven't been at all as disciplined in memorizing God's word. In fact, I haven't been intentional about memorizing Bible verses since I had to do that as a child in the programs that I was attending. For Ethan, it's Olympians. For me, it was Christian Service Brigade. I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me that, you know, we encourage our children to learn verses at Olympians. We encourage our youth to learn verses at quizzing. But what do we do to encourage our adults to hide God's word in their heart? Mine wasn't growing. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into truth. But how much material are we giving him to work with? It's much easier for the Holy Spirit to remind us of what God's word says when we've been intentional about learning it. And that's the real reason why I started the 2018 Scripture Challenge. It's not because I'm so spiritually mature, but in this case, it was because I was so spiritually immature in that particular area that I wanted to be accountable for growing in it. And if you feel the same way, well, it's not too late to join the 2018 Scripture Challenge. In fact, it's never too late to start hiding God's word in your heart. And I'm pleased to announce that since the start of this year, 2018, the people who've signed up to participate in the Scripture Challenge have already memorized a total of over 1,000 verses right here from Trailview. We're already one of the top 100 churches of the many hundreds who've committed to making Scripture memory an important part of their pathway to spiritual maturity, and we're only 1 month into it. So I'm excited to see how the Lord will use this as a way to help us discern his voice with increasing clarity. Spiritual growth is a value that we want to be more than just an aspirational value here at Trailview, but an actual one, that it fits, that it feels like it's not something that we say but we don't do. It's something that we long to do. And I was encouraged this week after the Hearing God course that one of the participants said that for them, what has changed in their life already is that they no longer feel that spending time with God is something that they have to do, that they do out of a sense of duty or obligation, but it's something that they enjoy and look forward to doing, that they get up earlier than they used to so that they can do it. And that's, to me, an indicator of the Holy Spirit at work, helping us to grow in our journey towards maturity with Him. So if you're looking to grow in your spiritual journey, remember these habits, these three habits of being in a small group or a mentoring relationship, spending time with God through prayer and through the reflections of His Word, and that will help you to continue to grow deeper and deeper in your journey with Jesus. Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are a God of relationship, that even before the world was created, You, who never were created, existed in the context of community. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in a sense, was the first small group. And then You created us in Your image. And we are encouraged to participate in small groups so that we can learn more of Your image, which will never be exhausted. Lord, I thank You for the gift of other people with whom we can interact and relate and learn more about You from. I thank You for the gift of prayer, where Your Spirit intercedes with our spirit and we're able to understand You in a deeper way. And I thank You for the truths found in Your Word, the Bible, where as we read them, Your Holy Spirit brings to mind the things that we've studied and memorized, and it helps us to know what You want us to do and how You want us to do it. And so, Lord, out of Your amazing love for us, You've revealed a pathway that will help us to become spiritually growing Christians, the kind that will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that when people look at us, they'll be drawn to You. I pray with thanksgiving all these things in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Amen.